Questions and Answers on the Bible. Chapter 135. Roman Catholics and the Bible. Is it true that the Catholics gave us the Bible? If not, what are we indebted to for our present Bible? Are there any original manuscripts to prove the authenticity of the scriptures? It is certainly not true that the Catholics gave us the Bible. Only a very slight acquaintance with history and with present conditions is necessary to make this apparent. For example, in countries wholly under Roman Catholic influence, as Spain, Mexico, and some parts of South America, the Bible is unknown. The Bible was a forbidden book in Italy, and was totally unknown in Rome, until Victor Emmanuel freed the country from papal domination. Even in Catholic Germany today, it is almost impossible to procure a copy of the Bible. I am well acquainted with a young man who tried in vain to purchase a Bible in Cologne. There are places in France where even the booksellers do not know the book by name. Every reader of history knows at what they cost the Bible was given to the English people. The translators had to do their work in secret, and it was only at the risk of his life that anybody had anything to do with circulating the copies that were printed. Catholic prelates, acting under the Pope's orders, burned the book singly and by whole editions, wherever they could find it, and solely because of his zeal to give the Bible to his countrymen, Tyndale was burned at the stake. These things being so, how absurd to claim that the Catholics gave us the Bible, when they have taken, and still take, every means possible to keep it away from their own people. Who can think that it was they who gave it to Protestants? Not only did they keep it away from the common people, but, at least before the Reformation, the priests themselves were totally ignorant of it. Luther had been a priest for a long time before he had ever seen a copy of the Bible, and he actually supposed that the few extracts in the prayer book were all the scriptures there were, until he accidentally found a chained copy in the library. Furthermore, the Catholic Church claims that the Bible is not by any means a sure or even a safe guide in matters of religion, and uses only such portions as can be made to appear to support its pretension, while it boldly contradicts others. Now, since it claims to be superior to the Bible, and urges its own change in the matter of baptism and the Sabbath, as proof that the Church, and not the Bible, is the sure guide, it is evident that if it had been left to Roman Catholics, the Bible never would have been translated into the language of the people. I was about to write that if it had been left to them it would never have been written, but that is self-evident, for the Bible carries its own proof that it did not come by the will of any man. It is its own unimpeachable testimony to the fact that it is of divine inspiration. I have already indicated to what we are indebted for our present Bible. John Wycliffe and William Tyndale in England, Martin Luther in Germany, are the names that stand most prominent in Bible translation. They prepared the way for others. A little book entitled, How We Got Our Bible, by Professor H. Sayce, published by the Oxford Press, gives briefly, but very clearly, and in simple language, the fascinating story of Bible translation. Everybody could procure it and read it with profit. There are no original manuscripts in existence, but there are some very ancient copies. The manuscripts written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, etc., are not to be found. But our knowledge of the correctness of the Bible as we have it translated is not lessened by that fact, for the substantial agreement of the numerous copies makes the case far more sure than it could be if we had only the original copy of each writer's manuscripts. The one copy might lie under the suspicion of having been tampered with and changed. But when we have many manuscripts, copied by different persons, and at different times, there can be no doubt that we have the Bible substantially as written by the men were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now the question remains, how do we know that the scriptures as we have them are authentic? How may we know that they are indeed the Word of God? As to the first part of the question, there is the same proof that there is of any other ancient book. All the books of the Old Testament were in use in the time of Christ, as the New Testament and the controversial writings of heathen authors show. And this is in itself a further proof that we are not indebted to the Catholic Church for the Bible. It was in existence in its entirety, before that church had any existence. The manuscripts that are now in existence, from which present translations are made, were copied at different places and at different times from the originals, and their agreement in all essentials is proof that the Bible has not been corrupted to any appreciable extent, while the variations, due to slips of the pens of the copyists, show that there was no collusion, and thus make us more sure than if all were exactly alike. But when all has been said that may be said as to the authenticity of the documents, We have still to answer the question as to how we know the Bible to be the inspired Word of God. Here, as in the case of Jesus, no testimony can be received from man. It carries its credentials in itself. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, the people who heard did not need anybody to tell them whose voice it was. Even so it is today. Men may scoff at the Bible and deny the validity or perpetuity of the law. But when the Spirit sends the arrow of conviction into their hearts, they know that the law is of God and that it is of everlasting force. The best, therefore, and the surest proof that the Bible is really the Word of God is personal acquaintance with its author. As the officers who were sent to take Jesus came back and said, "Never man spoke like this man," even so those who read and hear the words of the book are constrained to admit that they are not the production of man. When the conceited young man flippantly remarked to the college professor that the book of Proverbs did not show much skill, the old man silenced him with the sententious reply, "Make a few. The Bible shows us ourselves, not only as nobody on the earth could do, but as we ourselves could not. Hidden things are brought to light, which we recognize as pertaining to us as soon as we see them, but which no man can know. The Scriptures reveal the presence of one who can discern the thoughts and intents of the heart, and not only do they lay open human nature, but all creation as well. Through them we get understanding of nature both seen and unseen. All that is needed to convince anybody that the Scriptures are indeed the living Word of the living God is close acquaintance with them. Taste and see. There never was a time when the Scriptures were so easy of access, and it is no doubt for this reason that Satan is using every means to undermine its authority over the minds and hearts of the people. The Catholic Church kept the Bible away from the people as long as it could, and now the Protestant Church, through its foremost men, is laboring to make it of none effect. Precepts and miracles are being set aside as mere fabrications, and the prospects are that it will not be long before those who follow the leaders will be wholly deprived of the light of life. But God never leaves himself without witness which the poorest and most illiterate can understand. If any man wills to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. Then let every lover of truth, everyone who sincerely wishes to know the right way, give diligence to become acquainted for himself with the sacred book, and he will have proof of the saying, "The opening of your words gives light, it gives understanding unto the simple."